You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. The show with nonstop chirps.
This guy's the anti-Tony Robbins or whatever.
I'm the realist.
Don't do it.
I'm not trying to be a contrarian.
We need a guy to say that's a great idea. You two idiots, you fat pigs.
I'm from the...
You're Robin Anthony. That's your name.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I had something happen to me today, kids. Oops, sorry.
Okay, Jennifer Hedger's in here. Before you start, you got your stupid briefcase in here.
It's an upgrade, I'll tell you that right now.
But it can't fall like that when we're on the air.
It's loud.
It'll be on the ground for now. Forever. Well, I got to ask you guys something because it's really bugging me and I don't know what to do because I've had something taken from me recently, my bag. Today I'm walking in the hallway in my condo and there's a crisp hundo on the ground. So I'm like, what do you do with that? Like, do you put a note up and say, hey, has anybody lost $100? Because if you do that, then some loser is going to say, yeah, it was me. So I'm like, what do you do with that?
No, you pick it up and you walk.
I would probably pick it up, look around, maybe suggest to the concierge on the way out. I found some money in the hallway. If anybody suggests they lost some money, I found it.
Well, what if he says, oh, actually, I just picked up a crisp hundy. Now that I think about it, that's mine.
No, he could just say to me, you know what? It was me. I was up. I was doing surveillance, and I lost $100.
But that's
what
I'm
saying.
No, but
you don't say how much it was. You say, I found some money. And then if that person goes...
Veteran move.
I lost a crisp hundy. Did you find my brown one? Then you're like, yes, I found your brown one. But if you can't say what the amount was, the person who lost it would know. That's how you do it.
I think if there's somebody around... I think the human nature is if you get put on the spot, you're not going to immediately lie. In other words, if someone
by
has
the way,
their back
Brian, I don't want to lie, but I'm thinking...
No, you're not in a position to lie. You picked it up. My point being is, let's say there's someone with their back turned and you go, hey, is this yours? I don't think they immediately turn around and even though it isn't, go, yeah, it is mine. I think human instinct would be, no, it's not. If it's not their $100 bill. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I think if you give people time to think about it...
Yeah, they're like, maybe it is my $100. Yeah.
Right. But if you tap them on the shoulder and turn around, you're probably, like, going to get an honest answer. But if no one's around, you pick it up and you leave. It's $100.
It's $100.
It's not a briefcase full of cash.
No. Right? I was at the arena on the weekend, and I had $10 in my pocket. I was sitting watching my kid play hockey and pulling out my phone to not watch my kid play hockey. And as I pulled out my phone, $10 fell in my pocket. I didn't know. And dude, like, three aisles down says, hey. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, you dropped something. And I looked down. Oh, under my chair, there's my money. Very nicely done. Class move. Because he could have waited for me to leave, scooped it up. See you later.
You hockey parents, I think I read something that in, like, Simcoe, Ontario.
Oh, yeah, I know. That wasn't good.
The OPP had to get called in for
a brawl
of hockey parents.
Yeah, that's not us.
The hell's
We're too busy looking at Instagram to worry about that.
You're not paying attention to the game. Yeah, unless someone's carving you online. That's
Have you ever gotten the car and your son said, did you see my goal? And you're like...
No, I would never do that during a game. This is usually practice stuff.
Practice,
yeah. No.
I know guys that go in their car and drink beer.
Yeah, no. Oh, the game, I am
or dads
all
that
in.
There's like, let's have a couple of beers in the back seat, and we're not watching this.
No, I'm all in. My son's at an age where I'm like, dude, I love that play where you went into the corner and you were in there with number 14, and then you came out with the puck. I'm like, remember when you did that spin? And he's like, nah. Like, he doesn't... I remember this game more than he does right
now. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man. Like, we have daughters. You have one. I have three.
Yeah.
I was eating lunch the other day at one of my favorite spots in Collingwood, and I saw a dude sitting there watching sports with his son, and I'm like... I always ask my daughters, I'm like, do you want to watch the Leaf game with me? And all three of them are like, no.
No.
I'm just like... They're like, no way.
They're still pretty young, though.
I know, but like, don't you care at all? They know what the Maple Leafs are. They go to school. People talk.
There's no interest.
Yeah, they're like, Dad, people in my school said that used to play for the Maple Leafs. I'm like, yeah, I did.
Do you have a son on the way, Brian, or a daughter?
We don't know what's en route.
Okay.
No, we haven't. We're going in blind.
Yeah, well, that's good.
We're going in blind. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to expect. Publicly, I don't really care. You give it the happy, healthy routine. That's all you're looking for that. And I've got a daughter, and she's amazing. But it's going to be a pretty wild spring. Because the Leafs and Raptors are playing.
I'm telling you.
Well, I don't have a choice.
You hear these horror stories?
It's kind of been
about the hockey rinks and parents and the expectations and, like, you got to get to the NHL. Who the hell wants to deal with
that? But here's what I would say to that, okay? And we got a lot of Raptors stuff we got to get to here in a moment. We're way off track. But that's on the parents to figure it out.
Absolutely.
Not the sex of the child. You know what I'm saying? Like, this idea that, well, I had a boy, so I have to pick a fight in 15 years when we're at Chesswood.
Right.
I agree.
You're an idiot if you're doing that kind of stuff. All right. Matt Sundin, I think, is going to join us later in the hour.
Oh.
And we're going to ask Matt, has he ever been on the TTC? Because you see the Maple Leafs today? They took the TTC.
You can't look cool walking around in full gear and running shoes. I don't care if you're Austin
Matthews.
He's been
on the TTC because I used to ask him, which one of your favorite spots to go to eat? Red Lobster.
What does that mean about the TTC, though?
I guess it's kind of regular stuff. Like, he's a regular dude. He doesn't care about anything.
Yeah, that's true. If you go, if you've been to Red Lobster, you've been on the TTC.
Exactly.
It's a science.
I've been on the TTC, but I've never been to Red Lobster.
You've never been to a Red Lobster?
Not a big seafood fan.
Is that right?
No, the Lobster.
I've only been to a couple, I got to be honest. But
the Parmesan biscuits are the big deal there, or the cheddar biscuits or something, I hear.
Try an ultimate feast on for size.
Well,
Sundin.
Isn't that the epitome, the definition of a chain restaurant? When they're known for their biscuits.
The biscuit,
It's always free.
The free basket. Yeah, get six baskets of biscuits
just
before
reload
we decide
on
what we're going to order. Thank you very much.
Ultimate Feast. It's called the Ultimate Feast.
Mm-hmm.
Lobster tails, shrimps, mash.
Now, is it lobster or lubster? Looks like lobster. Tastes like lobster.
But it comes from a lake.
It's not lobster.
No. So
we got some hot NBA takes.
Well,
get after it.
I mean, I want to point that out. We got Matt's coming up. We got Ray coming up. We'll get into the Leaf game last night. But the Raptors have joined the arms race. You know, I don't think this was a reactionary move. That's not generally the way it works in pro sports. You're kicking tires on moves for a long time. But the Bucks acquired Mirotić this morning. Raptors fans are well aware of him. When he was in Chicago, he was a part of that run where the Raptors could not beat the Bulls forever. And he was a big part of it. And now he's in Milwaukee. And if you watched any of that Bucks game last night, there's a reason they're the number one team overall in the NBA. I think Giannis is the best player going right now. I don't care about James Harden. I don't.
He
Harden
thinks it
would
too.
Be number two.
Did you see his lips last night?
Yes, but he was calling for the MVP. He feels like he's the MVP. And if you watch him play, I think he's the most dominant player going today. Now, if LeBron is 100% healthy, then we can have that conversation. If Durant is in the zone, Kawhi's in the zone, but Giannis is a beast.
I kind of dig that, though. When somebody, like, I don't usually like that kind of stuff, maybe because I never was that kind of player that could say, but when you kind of, you're grooving and you know you're the best, it kind of gives a vibe within your teammates, like, okay, we got the best in the business right now. Let's start cooking here.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Listen, Giannis feels very comfortable in his own skin right now. And they're a deep team. They're a versatile team. The 3-1 against the Raps. We just saw it, you know, last week. And now they acquire Mirotić. We know that Tobias Harris goes from the Clippers to the Sixers earlier in the week. Raptors get in on the action today, and they have acquired Marc Gasol from Memphis. Now, Gasol's 34. He's not in his prime, but I think he's still an upgrade on Valanciunas. The way it breaks down is they traded Valanciunas, C.J. Miles, DeLon Wright, and a second rounder in 2024. I love these NBA deals. 5 years down the road, here's a second round pick. Like, we're going to get to the 2024 draft and say, why don't the Raptors have a second rounder?
Dude, we might not even have a show in 2024.
There might not even be such thing as radio.
Yeah, that's true. Who knows where we're going
to be?
We'll be doing a video podcast in 5 years
in
or whatever.
Basement.
In my basement. And then we're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's right. The Marc Gasol trade from 5 years ago. They flipped that pick.
Coming to roost.
But Miles is a bench guy who couldn't shoot and he wasn't playing anyway. DeLon Wright, he's got the makeup of a guy who I think, if you give him more opportunity, can be more of an impact player, but it wasn't going to happen here. Lowry's the guy. Van Vliet passed him on the depth chart. It just wasn't going to happen. So it's Valanciunas in a second for an upgrade with Marc Gasol.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for it.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Valanciunas is one of those guys, O'Brien. It's like when Coco and Alex Steen got traded from Toronto to St. Louis. I'm like, you know what? I like those guys. It might be, I don't know if it, like, that was a bad trade for Toronto, the Maple Leafs trade, but Valanciunas, I like the guy, and I'm going to be sad to see him go. There's something about him, he's a likable guy. Do you not agree?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, you just see him, he's got the goatee, he's always friendly, he's smiling.
And he was coming back tonight.
He does the goofy commercials.
Poor bastard.
You know, he was
playing really well this year.
He sent out a tweet.
I'm back tonight.
Yeah. Well, the Raptors did. Yeah, he said it, and the Raptors have posted it. I don't think they've taken it down because they're clearly worried about other things at this point. But listen, he's a lifer. They picked him fourth overall. He grew with this team.
I just like the guy. I don't know. There's something about him.
Well, that's great. I like DeMar DeRozan, but I would do that trade again in a heartbeat.
I agree.
You know, there's a lot of guys that I like, but I'm cool with still making the move. You know what I'm saying? Like, Marc Gasol is a guy, he's got a player option for next year, so he likely is going to pick that up. It's like $25 million. He's not going to walk from that. So you got this year, next year with Gasol. And as we get closer to the playoffs, we know the way the rotation works anyway. The bench, we're talking a 7 or 8 man rotation. Like, that's what it's going
to
be.
It's a pretty short bench when you think about last year, how big that bench mop was to this team.
Yeah, but
we're kind of
done
a 180 here right now. Well, I know the bench wasn't great that year, but if you look at what happened last year and they say, well, we're going to really shake things up for next year's playoffs, they really have.
The turnover has been excessive. Yeah. You know, like
you can
from
talk
the
about
head
the bench
coach,
from Kawhi, all you want,
yep.
But like, what did that get them?
No,
it didn't get them anywhere. My point is, good on Masai. For not sticking with the fact that falling in love with this bench mob that was so great last year. Didn't fall in love with that, had the balls to make a change, and now we got something to would be invested in for the playoffs.
No, and it was always a fallacy to believe that you were going to play 9, 10, 11 players a night in the playoffs anyway. It doesn't happen. The NBA's been around for a long time. You pick your 7 or 8 guys, and that's who you run with. And the Raptors, they've decided these are your 7 or 8 guys. It's Lowry, Fred, Leonard, Green, Siakam, Ibaka, Gasol. And they're going to have to add, you know, maybe Ananobi if you can get it together down the stretch here. Maybe Norman Powell. That's your 7 or 8 man rotation. Let's see what we got. 4 teams in the East. Milwaukee, Philly, Boston, Toronto. One of those 4 teams going to the NBA final. Here's Jack Armstrong, our Raptors analyst. Jack, your thoughts on this trade bringing in Marc Gasol?
Well, obviously, you know, you always hate to see a guy like Jonas Valanciunas go and DeLon Wright, C.J. Miles, all really good guys. And Valanciunas, when he was healthy this year, this team played really well with him in the lineup. And he's a younger player and a guy who, you know, in my opinion, is hitting the prime of his career. At the same time, you know, you get a guy like Marc Gasol, who's a guy, you know, just a elite player when he's on his game. And, you know, he's a tremendous defensive player. We've seen that being the defensive player of the year in the league. He can score in the post. He can score on the face-up game. He's a terrific passer. So there's a lot of elements to his game that kind of open things up for this team a little bit in terms of how he defends and, again, how he just can operate offensively on a number of different platforms. So you give up something, you get something. And now for the Raptors, you know, with Greg Monroe also being traded to the Nets, along with a second-round pick, you got multiple roster spots available right now, and the Raptors are going to have to find a way to come up with a few more players. I still think they need, you know, maybe a backup front court guy, and then on top of that, you got to add another shooter to the mix. And when you get into the buyout market, if a trade hasn't been done that we don't know about yet, you know, you got to have a sales pitch, and you got to be able to convince people that they're going to have an opportunity to play major minutes and a significant role on a team that's a contender. And the last thing I'll say is the fact that, you know, I heard your discussion about you know, the bench mob and all those kind of things. You look at what Philadelphia did getting Tobias Harris. You look at even Milwaukee just loading up today, getting a guy like Mirotić, who's a really good player. I think you got to have elite people when you get to the playoffs. Depth is secondary. Having guys that are 5 or 5-4+4s in terms of player rating versus guys that are a little bit lesser, those guys don't make as much of a difference in the playoffs. You need guys that have firepower and juice and game and polish in games. And I think the Raptors, as you guys were mentioning, I think, you know, you see the formula there. They tried the other formula. And I think with this group, and again, I'm sure there's a few other shoes to drop here in the next either few hours or in the next few days or weeks, you know, it's a different look. And you know what? Here's the last thing. By the way, they only have one starter. If Marc Gasol ends up being a starter, they'll only have one starter from last year's team in the starting lineup and that would be Kyle Lowry.
Well, saying that, Jack, how do you think they stack up? There might be some more things to come in the next couple hours, but Brian was just mentioning, you're talking about Milwaukee, Boston, Philadelphia, and Toronto in the East. What do you think of their chances? How do you think they stack up?
Yeah, I mean, based upon before this trade happened, I mean, the reality is the Raptors are 5-6 against the other three teams. You know, they're 1-3 against Milwaukee, 1-2 against Boston, 3-1 against Philly. And then when we all went to sleep on Tuesday night in Philly and woke up Wednesday morning, the Sixers team, the Raptors, beat 3 out of 4, were a much better team than when we went to bed on Tuesday night. So with all that being said, and then when you look what Milwaukee did earlier, you know, you got to look and say, man, how do you stack up against those teams? I think the Raptors looked and said, hey, we got to do something. And again, that's something, there's more something coming because, again, you only have 10 roster spots. So to go head-to-head and say they're better than this team, they're not as good as this team, when I have a full roster in front of me, I'll be able to make that proclamation. But needless to say, the next player or two that comes in will be a big part of determining how well they actually do match up with a Milwaukee, a Boston, a Philadelphia. Marcus Gasol's an excellent player. They're going to need a little more help than that.
With Jack Armstrong, just to recap what's happened here with the Raptors in terms of the NBA trade deadline, Marcus Gasol is in. 2 second rounders are out. Greg Monroe is on his way to Brooklyn. In terms of who's going back to Memphis, it's Valanciunas, CJ Miles, and DeLon Wright. We've spoken a lot, Jack, over the past, you know, month and a half in terms of what the approach was going to be leading up to the trade deadline and the areas of need. Obviously, like you've stated, and just based on the roster, they don't have enough guys. They have to bring in more players, if not via trade that we're still waiting to come out or via the buyout market. But was this the area of need that you thought they would be addressing? In other words, just bringing in a big like Marcus Gasol as opposed to, you know, a guy who maybe shoots threes, someone who plays the wing position. Was this the area of need that they really needed to attack?
Well, I think they were concerned with playmaking. And I think Gasol, when you look at him over the course of his career, I mean, he's a guy that can get you 5 assists a night. You can run a lot of stuff through him in the low post or the high post. So, you know, what he brings, it changes the dynamic of your offense a little bit. It makes everyone a little bit more efficient offensively. So, you know, he gives you that. And again, he's a horse inside in terms of his defense and rebounding. That, you know, obviously when you're a defensive player of the year guy, and now you got a guy with him and Kawhi Leonard, that makes you a pretty formidable defensive club. Definitely the need still. You know, and C.J. Miles had a disappointing year, and DeLon Wright was your third point guard and, you know, was erratic. You got to get another shooter. You got to have shooting. I think a shooting would probably be number one there. And then, you know, if you get, as I mentioned, if you can get a backup front court guy, those would be the two needs. I think if, you know, to me, if you filled out the roster with a good backup big and a good shooter or maybe even two shooters, then let's get it on. I think they'll be able to hang with those other three teams, and I think they'll feel just as good as those other three teams feel about it. But this is fun stuff. I mean, this is the sixth year of winning for the Raptors. These are positive problems to talk about. You know, so I'm excited about it. And I'm really fascinated about where the proverbial other shoe is going to drop.
Jack, Jennifer here. How are you?
Great, Jennifer. How are
you? I'm good, thanks. Jack, how long is it going to take, and how long should Raptors fans be thinking it's going to take for this team to gel now that we've got Gasol coming in and any other players that are going to come in? I mean, it seems like it's taken all season so far just for Kyle Lowry and Kawhi Leonard to figure each other out and figure out how they're going to work together. Now you're going to bring Gasol into the mix, and basically there's 2 months here before this team needs to peak and be at their best to try and win the East. So what's the process now to try and get all these guys on the same page and figure out how they're going to play?
Jennifer, really good question. I think number one.
You never say that to us, Jack.
Well, no, I mean, because, you know, you've upgraded your panel dramatically here. Yeah.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate
it. It's been a big trade deadline for this show.
But here's the thing that's really important. The Raptors only have two back-to-backs left the rest of the way. They've played a ton of games, more than most teams in the NBA. So the beautiful thing they're going to have now is days off in between games where you can practice. You, at the very least, could do film sessions, walkthroughs. So you can spend a lot of time on role definition, trying to get guys all on the same page. And the joke I always use is you don't want to peak too early, right? I mean, the Raptors had a peak early in the year where they were 20-4, and they were fabulous. And we were all excited about this team has a chance to get to the finals. Valanciunas gets hurt in Golden State. You've had all sorts of other issues with, you know, guys in and out of the lineup. The team that won 59 a year ago didn't have any adversity. They had no injuries. They were, you know, fewest in man games lost. The last 5 years, they've had great luck. This year, they've had to scuffle. So I think Nick Nurse has done a great job mixing and matching, finding creative ways to have this team with the fourth best record in the league. And Gasol wasn't on the team, and yet here you are, fourth best. And when you had Valanciunas, you were really good. So, you know, who's to say that he can't come in and make an impact that Valanciunas was making early in the year and solidify maybe the flow of your offense a little bit more? And again, you know, if you bring in the right guys along, you know, is it a major loss losing C.J. Miles or DeLon Wright? You might be getting upgraded from those guys. So, again, I don't know the answer, but I'm really excited to find out what it's going to be.
Jack, you just mentioned some days off coming up, and quickly, I'm an old school guy, so are you. Like, wouldn't you find a day or a couple days for these guys where it's like, you know what? Don't worry about practice. We'll see you back at the bus, and let's get on the airplane and kind of have some fun, get to know each other and try to find time for that? Or is that just kind of so far in the past it's not even part of the game anymore?
You know, it's a good point you make. I think they try to, you know, number one, they try to bring these guys together and do different creative things to build that camaraderie and chemistry. I think the Raptors as an organization, I think their greatest strength the last 5 years going into this year was, I hate the word, but I'm going to use it anyway, the culture. I think it was a really good, fun, collegiate culture. It was a team thing. It was really good. Now, has this group had that as much as that? No, because you've had a lot of change, and it takes time. And I think you bring up a really good point in terms of now you're going to add more pieces, and you're going to have to redefine roles. You know, this greatest strength of your organization, one of the greatest strengths has been that atmosphere and that positive vibe and that chemistry you've had. On the other hand, you know, what do they say? You don't value chemistry until you don't have it, right?
Yep.
But on the other hand, you can have all sorts of chemistry and not enough loaded guns to get you over the hump. And I think that's been a bit of the problem for the Raptors. So you may be going to trade a little bit of the chemistry for a little bit more star power. I look at a team like Milwaukee. They got amazing chemistry. But is that going to get them over the hump? We'll find out. They continue to try to upgrade. Boston's got the best talent in the Eastern Conference. Philadelphia might have the best starting unit in the NBA, in the Eastern Conference. But there's a lot of ways to skin the cat. And again, maybe those next two roster spots that get filled now with all these open spots will help determine what this jigsaw puzzle is truly going to look like.
Enjoy it tonight. Thank you, Jack.
Can't wait, folks. Have a great, great evening.
There's Jack Armstrong, a Raptors analyst. Raptors in Atlanta taking on the Hawks tonight. Obviously, Marc Gasol, we don't expect that he would be there tonight. But they got to fill out the roster here. And there's going to be a ton of buyouts. It happens every year. They're going to have to sign a couple of players, but they might have some minutes available. And the big move today for the Raptors, Marc Gasol is officially a Raptor, and Valanciunas, C.J. Miles, DeLon Wright, and a second-rounder are out. Greg Monroe and a second-round pick are off the Brooklyn simply for cap and money purposes. And there's still a lot of maneuvering that's going to have to take place over the next couple of weeks.
Bobby and our guys are the best. This Woj character.
Woj bomb.
He is, I don't know how he does it. Is he like paid by the league or what is his deal?
No, I don't know how he's worked out these kind of connections. He's not alone. Like there's a couple of guys.
With Shams dude.
Shams, yeah. There's about three or four guys who have all the connections.
But nobody touches the Woj.
Woj is number one clearly, and he's obviously worked it out where it must be the GMs or the agents. It's one or the other. He's either got every agent in the game that the first thing they do when something breaks is they tell him. Or every GM.
I actually think it's the GMs.
It might be.
Because there's no way he could get all this. This guy was on fire today.
Yeah, he breaks everything. They have everything.
And he's almost never wrong. Like, I can't remember the last time.
No, he is never wrong.
He broke something and it was like, sorry guys, I jumped the gun on that. That's actually not going to happen. He's never wrong.
No.
And everybody sits and waits for their Twitter accounts to have a new Woj come up because you know it's going to be big.
Yeah.
And if it's not, you're disappointed.
Well, he's even breaking, like, okay, this guy won't be traded.
Yeah.
Or here are the details on the offer. Like, this is the offer. Like, leaks. You know, like, leaks that aren't necessary.
It wasn't Woj, it was Windhorst, right, who broke the whole business between the Pelicans and the Lakers, saying that that was all just a troll job. That wasn't Woj, though, right? Because that was a pretty big bomb yesterday.
That was Windhorst yesterday. That was Windhorst, yeah, that was his understanding that this whole Anthony Davis to the Lakers thing was never going to happen because the Pelicans hate the Lakers. They believe it's collusion.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that LeBron and Rich Paul and all of them are behind this.
Yep.
And they were toying with them, and they were leaking everything, basically to destroy them. Leaking them. And now,
for them to let everybody know who they wanted to trade, who they would trade.
And it probably has, because guess who's come awake now? Is LeVar Ball is back out, and he's out of his cave. And like he was muzzled for about 8 months, and now he's alive again. And he's saying Lonzo's better than LeBron. LeBron's too old. Like now it's crazy again in Lakerland. And Anthony Davis is not being dealt there. It's over. He's not going there. So the Lakers have done nothing. And I don't even know if they're going to be a playoff team. Not good. Raptors, they're one of four teams in the East. One of these four teams is going. You know, LeBron isn't here anymore. We could always say, okay, LeBron's going. I feel very confident. I think everybody does. It's either Boston, Philly, Milwaukee, or Toronto. One of them are going to the NBA Finals. Let's see. Matt Sundin's going to join us, get his take on
signing big contracts.
The amount of money. Does it add pressure or does it take the pressure off knowing that the deal is done and the amount of money that you're...
We'll talk about being the man, making the money, and buying gifts for teammates.
Yeah, we'll get to that next. All right, so we're waiting on everything to be official when it comes to the NBA and the trade deadline. We're hopeful we can catch up with either Masai or Bobby Webster at some point this afternoon, but this Marc Gasol deal, it's a pretty big deal. Monroe and a pick going to Brooklyn. There's a lot of paperwork. I can only imagine what it would be like working at the NBA offices down in New York. I don't think the interns are running the fax machine here. You know, the big boys, the suits are out, the lawyers are out. They got to make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. So we'll keep you posted on what's up in the NBA. Our boy Al is glowing back there because he's a Toronto guy, he's a Leaf fan, and I don't think he's ever spoke with Matt Sundin before. I don't know if there was any back and forth or chit-chat. Matt's might be all business, but
Matt's doesn't care who Al is.
You don't think so?
Nope.
You want to bring in your guy here?
Matt's, how are you, buddy? Where have you been traveling? Give me some info about the latest vacations.
I miss you, my friend. It's a long way from the Baltic Sea to where you are right now, my friend.
I know. Any good trips, though? Any interesting things you've done?
I took the whole family down to South Africa a couple of weeks ago, and I sent you nice text messages from there, but it's not like Canada. I miss being home in Canada as well, my friend.
Well, what has to happen to get you back here? If the Leafs win around two rounds, when are we going to see you in Toronto?
I'll be over there soon, actually, but I just actually got a message also from Hockey Hall of Fame. So I'll be part of the celebrations there next fall as well, but I wish I could come up more often, but the kids are 6, 4, and 2 years old, and we're really busy, so everything is in full motion over here as well.
That sounds like a fun flight to South Africa with a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old, Matt. That sounds relaxing.
And it's only 15-hour flight, too, from Sweden, so we had a great time there. That was not much vacation.
Yeah, those flights are tough.
Oh, my God.
Those are tough. With Matt Sundin. The O-Dog outed a detail out earlier this hour, because today the Leafs had their outdoor practice, and they held it at City Hall, and they took the TTC. They actually got into their gear at Scotiabank and then jumped on the train at Union and went up to Osgood and got out and walked in, and they were practicing outside. There was a big crowd. And I was going to ask you, and I guess I'll ask you, and then we'll get to the rest of the story. Have you ever been on the TTC? Did you ever ride in the TTC? And if so, were you ever in full equipment?
Definitely never in any equipment, hockey gear. But I think I did ride it once or twice, but not too often, obviously. But that was it. That's a great initiative. I wish I was part of that, actually, when they did that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool seeing the pictures and the videos today. Yeah,
the reason it came up, Weed, is because I told him one of your favorite restaurants is Red Lobster. So I said, you're a regular dude. You like Red Lobster, so you would have ridden the TTC.
Many times, my friend. Many times.
Is a restaurant, would that be the go-to spot for people noticing you and fans coming up to you? Would it be a restaurant, convenience store, grocery store? Where would you be bothered the most in Toronto?
Well, I don't ever say that I was really bothered. You know, I think the best thing about playing in Toronto, I think, is that if you're part of the Maple Leafs, really no matter how the team is doing, you know, the media, obviously there's always commotion going on there, but as a player for the Toronto Maple Leafs, if you walk down the street and you're actually part of that team, the people and the fans and the people in the city of Toronto always treated you with so much respect. Way too much than you actually deserve, but my years in Toronto was great, and I'm blessed to had the chance to be part of that team for so many years.
Weed, Austin Matthews just signed a big contract. When you jump from kind of the 2 or 3 million and you go up to 10, like, does it make you change your, like, do you think about it, or is it just like, you know what, I'm good enough, that's why I have this contract, I don't have to think about doing anything different or appeasing different people. It's just what I do is what I do. I mean, does it come into your mind, or how does that work?
Well, I think you know a whole lot about that too. I think any players, I think, that are in professional sports, I think the biggest drive that we all have, I don't think it matters if you make $3 million or $10 million. It's about, we all try to be as good as we can be, and I think I don't think that's any difference at the end of the day. I don't think you can become a $10 million player by thinking this is my goal to make that kind of money in my career. The thing that makes you become a $10 million player a year is the passion you have for your sport, the love you have for the game, and obviously a talent and a drive there that makes you very exceptional as a player. So I think all of that, and then at the end of the day, I don't think a player at his age as well, just worried about going out there, having fun, and being as good as you can be, and also keep developing and improving as a player. That's what you think about, to be honest with you. And obviously, with the more money, there comes more pressure. But I think as a player in your career, you put so much pressure on yourself trying to be as good as you can be. So I don't think I think for most players at that point, it actually helps them grow their confidence and make it even better. That's my opinion.
With Matt Sundin.
Matt, I don't know how closely you're following this, but as you know, Austin Matthews just signed his contract, and now Mitch Marner is the next Leaf that they got to get under contract. And his agent, Darren Ferris, has come out and said, you know, we're not going to negotiate during the season. It's too much of a distraction. We're going to wait until after the season, which, of course, has caused a bigger distraction, because now Mitch Marner just gets asked all the time about this contract and how much it's going to take. And the more points that Mitch puts up, it seems like the number keeps getting higher and higher and higher. So just what is it? Is it a distraction to not have a contract signed, to sign a contract during the season, considering that the agent is the one that does the work anyways? Is it more of a distraction to have your media always talking to you about it? Or is it not any of the above? The media and all the talk is just noise that happens outside of the bubble that hockey players actually live in?
I think the guys are in their bubbles for sure. I think if you look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, this is what a great problem to have when you have not one player that are looked upon as a possible franchise player. You have three or four here as of your forwards. Wow, you know, that's a very unique situation I mean, and both me and I know Jeff can vouch for that. That doesn't come around every year, not even one team in the National Hockey League. So that's a great position for the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Maple Leaf fans to be in. Saying that, though, I mean, I think media, obviously, there is a great story there to see how these guys also measure up against each other. But in the dressing room, if I was a coach or a GM, I like that situation because there's always going to be a bit of competition between these guys. And when we have competition, usually the guys perform better. So, but as a player, I don't think Mitchell and I think his agent really handles it well. I think the contracts will happen when it happens, and I don't think it's going to affect his play. I would say, if and it's already proven to be that kind of player, it's just going to make him better, knowing that, you know, if he keeps performing the way he has, he'll get the money he deserves. And they're so young and so early in their career, they're going to make more money than they can spend either way.
We'll see about that. You never know with Matt Sundin. The biggest, you know, contract impasse of the year was with William Nylander, and he was over in Sweden, and obviously a Swedish guy himself. At any point during his impasse when he was negotiating the deal and back home in Sweden, did you come across him? Did you talk with him at all? Any interactions with William Nylander?
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, not. But it, obviously, I'm happy for him that it eventually was solved. I think, you know, he's fortunate to be in a team and surrounded by teammates that we talked about right now, like Matthews and Marner and Tavares. It's an opportunity that I think both me and Jeff can agree on. Doesn't come around for a whole lot of players in the National Hockey League, and many players play for many, many years without having a chance to be surrounded by players like that. So I'm happy for him because he's going to hopefully have a chance to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs for many more years. He'll have a chance to win championships and be around some really great players.
Mats, what was the excitement? You guys had some really good teams. Unfortunately, the teams we were on, we didn't make the playoffs, but when you had some deep runs with the Leafs, what was the excitement level heading into the playoffs when you were one of those teams? I mean, we're talking about the NBA, the NHL, teams that have a legitimate chance. What was the excitement level within the group, like knowing that, you know, the fan base and everybody's going to have the opportunity to have some success in the playoffs here?
Yeah. And there's no doubt it's a huge difference to be a contender in the city of Toronto and being a contender in a smaller market where hockey is not the number one thing. So to have that opportunity in Toronto and going into throughout the regular season and then obviously going into playoffs and have that momentum built as you go into the first and second and third round, it's very, very unique situation. And I mean, all of us, I'm sure all of you, it's really tough to imagine what would happen with the city of Toronto when the city finally wins the Stanley Cup. And
they'll burn the city down, Mats. They will burn the city to the ground.
We want to see it, don't know. But I mean, and you look at the lineup and you look at the team that Toronto has now, there's going to be great opportunities for many years. So it's a great position for the Toronto Maple Leaf fans and for the organization.
I got good news, Big Weed. I'm coming to the Baltic Sea this summer, and I'm not kidding.
I'm waiting for you here. Did you finally get rid of your fear of flying?
Yes, I did, and I'm coming to the Baltic Sea in July, so you better be there. Make my
I'm
bed.
Be
have
your
it ready.
Host, my friend. It's always ready. You have my guest room. It's always sitting there for you, Jeff.
All right, brother. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks, guys.
Matt Sundin, your guy, living large in Sweden.
He sounds quite relaxed there in Sweden, eh?
It's a very relaxed nation, I think.
Seriously.
Why do you got to take your kids on a 15-hour plane trip to South Africa on a vacation? Can't you go to, like, a...
Norway? Somewhere a bit closer?
Yeah, go to Copenhagen.
Collingwood?
Why do you call him Weed?
I don't know. I showed up and people started calling him Swede, and then it was Weed, and then Swede, and it's Weed, and that's his name. That was his name.
Just Weed.
That's stupid.
There's different connotations now that it's legalized.
No, kidding. It had nothing to do with obviously that, but it was just Swede, and then it turned into Weed, and then it's like, I don't know. That was the guy's name. When I play hockey with him, his name was Weed.
And you've always been O?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of stupid, but...
Well, that was great, man. It's always great to catch up with him.
Yeah, it's good to hear his perspective on the contract, making big money, at playoff expectations.
Feels good about the Leafs.
That's why he was a guest.
Yeah, feels
job,
very
Al.
Good about the Toronto
Way to
Maple
go, Al.
Great work, Al.
Attaboy, Al.
It's producing right there.
Jennifer Hedges in here, the O-Dog. I'm Brian Hayes. Ray Ferraro coming up. We're hoping to catch up with a member of the Raptors front office. We'll see what's going on with the rest of the NBA and all the details in terms of this Marc Gasol trade. We'll get to that later in the afternoon. Bob McKenzie in studio. Dion Phaneuf's a healthy scratch tonight.
Ooh.
There's
come
a
on.
Lot going on in the world. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Raptors in action tonight down in Atlanta. Jonas Valanciunas was supposed to return from that dislocated thumb. It's a really strange way to go out, right?
Like, I'm back.
I'm back. Actually, you're not. You've been traded and never really got a farewell. And that's pro sports.
I told you off the hop. It's like, I like that guy. I don't know why, but he was just a likable guy.
He was a fan favorite. He definitely was a fan favorite. He's kind of one of the, he's been around, you know, how many years has he been around for?
Got drafted in 2012, I believe,
Okay.
And they talk about glue guys and guys that are important and in the locker room. They just bring something to the table.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he was one of those guys.
And he matured. Remember he had that business with the drive-through? Remember that drive-through business in Collingwood?
Sega Beach, I think it was.
It was Sega Beach, yeah. But
not Collingwood, it was
Sega
Beach.
Sorry, I would do not want to diminish Collingwood in front of O. But he matured, you know, and he, except for that tattoo around his neck, I think he had made some good decisions in the...
Stop disparaging this man. Stop taking runs.
Ripping on Collingwood, neck tattoos.
No. I know, what's
next? Have you seen his neck tattoo? That chain? It's like a tattoo of a chain around his neck.
It's aggressive, but he's making $17 million a year.
True.
I don't think he's too worried about applying for gigs or something.
If he didn't like it, he could afford to get it removed.
Is that available? Like, can you get tattoos removed? Like, officially out?
Well, you still have, like, a scar. You basically have a tattoo of a scar. Your tattoo of a dolphin is gone, and now you have a scar of a dolphin.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's
the
point?
It's like a bubbled up little...
Yeah, it looks like you burnt yourself.
Okay. Yeah. We have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs caps February 21st, every day this week. We will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this Maple Leaf played for two OHL teams, one of which was the Kitchener Rangers.
Rangers.
I know who it is. This Maple Leaf played for two OHL teams, one of which was the Kitchener Rangers. I know who it is. Moving on. Ray's coming up in the next hour. We'll get back into the NBA trade deadline.
Tell me the other team.
No, I can't, because I'll give it away. I'll tell you in the break.
Nazem Kadri. I know it. London Knights.
Thank you. Ray's coming up. Raptors making trades. Bunch of other deals in the NBA. We'll keep you updated. We'll get to that next.